Good morning. It's my privilege to read for us from Hebrews chapter 8. I'll give you a minute to find it. It's Hebrews chapter 8, right towards the back of your Bible. Now, the main point of what we are saying is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, "See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one. Since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear.
Good morning, my name's Julian, as Richie said before, and I have the privilege of bringing us Hebrews 8 and helping explain it to us. So let's get into it. There is this common idea that the sequel is never as good as the original when it comes to movies or to television series. The original is always best. The sequels, they're never quite as good. They don't quite do the trick. Often they're a bit clunky, or the story doesn't seem to connect, or, you know, it just doesn't have the same feel the original did. You might have some different opinions, but it's a pretty common idea. You might even have some examples that come to mind. But despite that idea, what we see in Hebrews 8 is actually the opposite. The sequel is better than the original. We're told the new covenant is actually much better than the old covenant, the one before it. At Southern Cross, in our holiday series, we've been looking through the book of Hebrews. All through Hebrews, the key theme has been that Jesus Christ is greater. And as we look through Hebrews 8, we see that Jesus, in his greatness, he mediates the new covenant between God and humanity, one that is superior to the old, for it is established on better promises. What's your experience with promises? Nowadays, there's heaps of promises being made on larger scales and on smaller scales in our own personal lives. We make promises, and promises are made to us. I think oftentimes it can be tricky to or hard to trust them. As humans, we tend to let each other down. But are there any promises that we can fully trust? Well, as we unpack our passage, I hope that we can see the new covenant God has made, promises that are secured and trustworthy through Jesus. We'll have a look at the old covenant and the promises involved, and then we'll look into the new covenant and its promises and how Jesus, in his greatness, fulfills and secures them. Firstly, I'm going to pray. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we dive into your word, would you open our hearts and our minds to see your glory? By your Spirit, would you help me to speak clearly that your greatness might be shown and that you would be glorified? Amen. So covenant, we've talked a lot about covenant already. We've heard the word a couple of times. But what does covenant mean? Well, what it is it's a relationship between two parties that is established on promises. Maybe similar to like a contract, but how we'll be looking at it today, it's more personal and relational. An example of a covenant is marriage. In marriage, there's a wedding ceremony where the groom and the bride, they make promises or they vow to each other. You probably have heard them before. Maybe you've said them yourself. In sickness and in health, for better or for worse, and so on. They vow to each other. There are the promises, and this is what the relationship is established on. Marriage is an example of a covenant. In Hebrews 8, in the context we'll be looking at, the covenant relationship is between God and his people. In Hebrews 8 verse 6, it says, "But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he mediates is superior to the old one, since the new one is established on better promises." Jesus, the new covenant he mediates, is greater than the old because of the promises it is established on. The relationship that he mediates is better than the old because of the promises it is built upon. So as I said before, we're going to spend some time firstly looking at the old covenant, and then we'll come back and have a look at the new covenant, the better covenant, which is established and built on better promises. So let's have a look at the old covenant. The old covenant was between God and his chosen people, the Israelites. God's plan was to use the Israelites to be a light to all other nations. So God makes a covenant with them. The people of the Israelites, they promised that they would obey God's rules and laws. And in return, God promised that he would dwell among them and make them prosper. Let me read to you from Exodus 19. This is God speaking to Moses. "Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites," says God. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. The people all responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. God and the Israelites, they make a relationship built on promises. They make a covenant. In the old covenant, God's promises were good. God being in relationship with him, bring prosperity to them. But they were conditional. To receive them, the Israelites had to keep their promises. It's maybe similar to when you go to another state or to another country. There is usually conditions of entry. If you don't follow the conditions, you won't be let in, you won't receive entry. An example of that, I've got a couple of examples, but one that sticks out to me is Queensland's rule of no rabbits allowed. There's conditions of entry. If you bring a rabbit in, you're not allowed entry, at least legally. Another example might be when you go to another country, there's the border security. They check your bags for any nasties, any contraband. And if you have those things, you're not allowed entry. There are conditions. Likewise, in the Old Covenant, there are conditions for the Israelites to receive the promises from God. They had to keep their promise of obeying his laws and his rules. If we follow the history of the Israelites through the Bible, we'll find that although the Old Covenant was good, the people didn't uphold it, and eventually they break their promises and they break their covenant with God. They weren't faithful, they didn't keep their promises, they turned away and they worshipped idols and disobeyed God. The Israelites broke their covenant and they stopped receiving his promises. That's the Old Covenant. In Hebrews 8 verse 7, it says, For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people. The Old Covenant was good, but the people couldn't uphold the promises they made. Thankfully, God had a sequel in the making, one that is even better than the original, a sequel for everyone. We've had a look at the Old Covenant, and now let's have a look at the New Covenant. The New Covenant is a relationship built on promises between God and his people. It was originally promised to the Israelites, but through God's grace, he has made a way for anyone to be a part of it. Hebrews 8 explains a few different things to us about the New Covenant. It tells us that Jesus is the great high priest, the mediator of the New Covenant. It compares Jesus to the Old Covenant priests, and it also tells us about the promises that the New Covenant, that this relationship is established on or built upon. Today we're focusing on the promises the New Covenant is built on and how Jesus, the great high priest, how he has secured those promises. In Hebrews 8, the author quotes a snippet from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. It takes up nearly about half of the chapter. Jeremiah is a prophet in a time where Israel was in exile because they had not kept their promises to God, as we briefly touched on. God graciously had a plan for a new covenant to be made. These verses were the words he spoke explaining the promises that the new covenant would be built on. This is what it says. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. In this passage, God has made three promises which the new covenant is built upon. A promise of transformation, a promise of knowing him, and a promise of forgiveness. We'll have a look at each one as we go through this passage, and we'll see how Jesus is involved in each of them. First, we'll actually start at the bottom. We'll start with God's promise of forgiveness. God says, "For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." God promises forgiveness. Sin and wickedness is what separates humanity from God. We first see it in the Garden of Eden at the very start of the Bible. We see it in the story of the nation of Israel as they turn away from God. We see it in our world today and even in our own lives. It's when we put created things over the Creator himself. It's when we put ourselves as God of our own lives. We all sin. The penalty for sin is death. But God promises that he will forgive wickedness and remember sins no more. There's a penalty for sin. For God to forgive, the penalty has to be paid. In the old covenant, Israel had priests that mediated the covenant. Their job was to bring people closer to God. A job they had was to perform animal sacrifices to cover over the people's sins. The animal took the punishment the people deserved. It was a ritual that had to be performed regularly as it only covered over the people's sins temporarily, and it didn't pay the penalty in full. At the start of Hebrews 8, we read that Jesus is the high priest of the new covenant. And in verse 3, it says, "Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one to also have something to offer." Jesus is a high priest, and like any priest, he has something to offer in this new covenant. Jesus the priest, his offer is different though. Instead of an animal, he offers his very own life as a sacrifice. As a result, he takes the punishment we are forgiven. He makes a permanent way for God to fully forgive wickedness and remember sins no more. On earth, he lived the perfect life, one that fully obeys God. Jesus offered himself, his perfect life, as the perfect sacrifice, one that fully pays the penalty once and for all. As a result, there is the gift of forgiveness. The new covenant is established on forgiveness through Jesus, the high priest, his sacrifice. When we put our trust in him, our sins are wiped. Our sins are forgiven. That's God's first promise. Next promise, God says, "No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest." God promises all his people will know him. He says, "No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord.'" In the old covenant, human prophets and priests taught about God, but God promises this covenant is different. He promises all his people will know him, but it's not something that is achieved through or dependent on humans. Instead, God is promising in this covenant to intervene and to reveal himself. How does he do this? Well, he does this by sending his own son into the world. Jesus, the Son of God, who is seated at the right hand, as we see at the start of the chapter, who is the high priest, who serves in God's sanctuary, and he descended from heaven to earth. He walked among people, he taught, and he performed miracles. He met with all different kinds of people. He represents God, and through Jesus, God reveals himself. Jesus says to his followers, this is John chapter 14, "If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. God reveals himself through Jesus. To know Jesus, his love, his wisdom, his power, his sacrifice is to know God. For us, we can meet Jesus in the Bible, God's word, from we're singing in the kids' song, weren't we? The whole Bible points to Jesus, doesn't it? From Genesis to Revelation, it points us to Jesus, and Jesus reveals God so that we can know him. The new covenant has been established on, through God making himself known by his son, Jesus. And lastly, our last promise, I'll put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. God is promising a change of heart and mind. He's promising transformation from living in disobedience to living under God's rule and being his people. In the new covenant, God will put the laws on the hearts of his people and on the minds to change them into his very own. In the old covenant, the laws are written on stone tablets, the Ten Commandments. Some people couldn't obey them, some people could obey them with their actions, but no one could truly obey them with their hearts and with their minds. They had other idols. Deep down, they had different desires. They needed transformation from the inside out so that they could live for and desire God. We too need transformation like that. That's the transformation God promises. Jesus in John 3 talks about being born again in the Spirit. This is the transformation God is promising. He says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." Jesus is talking of a spiritual rebirth. In our sins, we're spiritually dead, but if we put our trust in Jesus, just as he was raised to life, we are made spiritually alive, born again. In Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit lives in us. The Spirit opens our minds and our hearts to God's glory, resulting in lives that are transformed from the inside out. The Spirit convicts and writes on our hearts and minds. We are transformed to desire God and his glory. The new covenant is built upon transformation. In Hebrews 8, we see God make three promises for the new covenant to be established on or built on. The promise of transformation, the promise of knowing him, he reveals himself, the promise of forgiveness. But what is our part in this relationship? In the old covenant, the Israelites, they promised to obey and to follow God's rules. So what's our promise? What do we have to do? Use your imagination. Picture a wedding ceremony. The groom and the bride, they're up the front. They're there to commit to each other and to join in marriage. They're holding hands, about to exchange vows, about to make promises to each other. The groom vows, "I take you to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. To love and to cherish, I promise to meet your needs. I promise to forgive you and never let you go. I promise to love you no matter what." Usually now, I think the bride would respond and share her vows. But this ceremony is different. Instead, the bride remains silent. She doesn't vow. Despite this, the ceremony continues. The groom and the bride, they exchange rings. They are joined in marriage. They're wedded together. They're pronounced husband and wife. The crowd goes wild. They walk down the aisle and the reception, the party continues there. This particular marriage is established solely on the husband's vows and promises. This is just like the new covenant. Our relationship with God is solely built on His promises to us. He promises we receive. For Jesus does it all. He secures and fulfills the promises. He makes a way for forgiveness. He reveals God's character, and in His name, the Spirit comes and dwells in His people. This is the new covenant. All are welcome to join and receive God's promises because of Jesus. Today we see heaps of promises being made. The world promises acceptance. If you just be yourself and do what you want to do, everything should be fine. Go your own way. Try your own luck. Live your own life. And then you'll be embraced. But we're humans. We make mistakes. We hurt people. We have broken relationships. This is not the promise we need. What we truly need is a deep and loving forgiveness where God embraces us. God promises forgiveness. Even in our sinfulness and in our wickedness, we can with confidence come to Him and receive forgiveness. The penalty has been paid. We don't need to hold on to sin or onto shame anymore. In Jesus, we are forgiven. Other religions or spiritual groups promise different ways to know God or to be enlightened. You have to perform certain rituals or have your own inner realization. Go to certain places, or it's through obedience that you can know God. It's up to the individual person to find. But God, our God, intervened. He promises that His people would all know Him. And He sent Jesus, His Son, to earth. Jesus lived life and taught and performed miracles. To know Jesus is to know God. God reveals Himself through Jesus. Different brands or influencers, they promise if you use their product or follow their way, that our lives will be transformed. Will be empowered or be happy or fulfilled. Might try it for a little bit. We can change ourselves. For a little bit we think. We can change ourselves on the surface, but we can't truly transform ourselves on the inside. But God promises transformation from the inside out. The Holy Spirit can change hearts and minds, transforming lives. In Jesus' name, God gives the Spirit to His people. Well, we've seen the old covenant and we've seen the new covenant. The original and the even better sequel, the new covenant. A relationship with God built on promises. Promises that are trustworthy. Promises that are secured. Promises that are fulfilled. Through Jesus, we can be a part of the new covenant. Through Jesus, we can have a sure promise of a relationship with God. I hope that you've been able to see how Jesus has fulfilled and secured these promises. We're going to now respond in prayer. I'll pray, and then there'll be a time for you to quietly reflect and pray. And then Jasmine's going to come up and lead us in church family prayer. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be in relationship with you. A relationship where you have made all the promises, and through Jesus we receive them. We thank you that you reveal yourself to us, that you forgive us, and that you transform us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.